The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Yevamot. Masechet Yevamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlaha Varvaha Mechol Maaseh Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nahat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Just a note of interest. As we study Masechet Yevamot, many of the cases need diagrams. We have chosen the Sefer Siyurim LeMasechet Yevamot as our book for the diagrams, written by Aharon Shlomo Berabi Baruch Moshe Hafner, available in the bookstore. So when we refer to pages, we are using that sefer. Daf Chav Dalet. Today's daf is being studied by Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenechenu Began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Chav Dalet Amud Lishon, right at the Mishnah. And the Mishnah reads, Mitzvah Begadol Liyabim. There's a mitzvah that the oldest brother makes Yibum. Ve'im Kadama Katan Zacha. However, if one of the smaller brothers jumped ahead and made the Yibum, Zacha. It is his privilege. Comes the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Gemara now is going to be Doresh, a Pasuk in Devarim Chafeh. The Pasuk says by Yibum. I quote you the pasuk. V'haya bechor asher teled yakum al shem achiv hamet velo yimache shemo b'Yisrael. So the Gemara is going to be doresh. V'haya bechor, and it will be the firstborn mikan shemitzvah begadol liyabem. Which means the Gemara is learning over here the bechor in this pasuk is referring to one of the brothers. And therefore the Pasuk is telling us that it's mitzvah on the Bechor to make the Yibum. Asher teled prat la'ilonit. This comes to exclude an ilonit that she does not fall to Yibum. Because since she is not possible, able to be molid. Ilonit is a lady that cannot have children. So therefore she does not fall to Yibum. Asher teled prat la'ilonit. She ain't yoledet. Yakum al shem achiv. So it says he will literally rise in the name of his brother. So the Gemara is doresh this lenachala, meaning the brother that makes the yibum now takes the place of the deceased legabe nachala. That means the father, when he dies, this yavam not only receives his chelek in the nachala, but also receives the chelek of the deceased brother. Al shem achiv. When it says on the name of his brother, which means he takes over his brother's chelek l'nahala, for inheritance. Ata omer l'nahala, you're learning this pasuk to teach me dini nahala. O eno ela l'shem. Maybe the explanation of the pasuk is when it says al shem achiv hamet. Maybe it's teaching me that the child that's born, his name has to be named after the deceased. Yosef, if the deceased brother was called Yosef, korin oto Yosef. Yohanan, korin oto Yohanan. So how do you know when it says al shem achiv amet, we know that's a reference to the brother that he gets a din of nahala. Maybe Al-Shem is talking about the son that has to be named after the deceased. Gemara says, no, we have a Gezra Shavah. Ne'emar kan yakum Al-Shem Achiv. Ve'ne'emar lehalan Al-Shem Ahehem yikare'u benahalatam. And therefore, we're going to make a Gezra Shavah. Ma Shem Amur lehalan. That was by the children of Yosef, which was talking about Nahala, le'nahala. Af Shem Amur kan. So therefore, Gezera Shava Shem Shem, and therefore we're learning it that the brother who is the Yavam takes the place of the deceased in the Helek of the Nahala. Comes Gemara, continues the Derashah of the Pasuk. Velo Yimache Shemo, and his name, meaning the deceased, his name should not be blotted out. which means the mitzvah of Yibum is to perpetuate his memory, prat lesaris, that comes to exclude a saris, that's somebody that cannot have children, shishmo mahoy. And therefore, if the brother that was originally married was a saris, and he dies, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Why? Because he was already mahoy already. So you only make Yibum in a case where he had an ability to procreate, but he couldn't. So therefore you have to continue what he wasn't able to do. But if he wasn't able to do it himself, because he was a Saris, so he does not fall to Yibum. Prat lesaris Shishmo Mahui. Amar Rava. Afalgav de Bechol HaTorah Kula. En Mikra Yotze Mide Peshuto. Even though we have a rule in the whole Torah that the pshat of the pasuk always remains, even after we give drashot on pasukim, but we always go back to the pshat. Hacha here, atay gezerah shava. The gezerah shava comes along afikte mepashtel legamre. It removes it from the pshat in totality, which means now that I'm learning that the brother fills the place of the deceased for nahala, I'm taking out of the pshat that's got nothing to do, you have to name the child after the deceased. Which means when it says, Al-Shem Ahiv Amet, Yakum Al-Shem Ahiv Amet, it means the brother will stand in place of the deceased for Nahala, but do not learn it that the child will be named Al-Shem Ahiv. Do not learn it like that. So the Gemara says, V'ilav Gezerah Shava. And if you didn't have a gezerah shava, hava amina shem shem mamash, would I have thought that the shem in that pasuk means the actual name, that if the deceased name was Yosef, you have to name the child Yosef, would I think that even? Mm-hmm. Without a gezerah shava, leman kamiz harachmana. How would you learn the pasuk? Who is the Torah commanding this law? The Yavam? Is he commanding the Yavam that he has to name his son after the deceased? The pasuk then should say, Yakum al Shem Ahicha. The Torah is talking to the Yavam, the pasuk should say, Ahicha. You have to name the child after your brother. Mivayelet should say, Ile Bedina. And if it was talking to the Beddin, meaning it's Beddin's responsibility, so the pasuk should say, Yakum al Shem Ahi Abiv. Mivayelet. So then the pasuk Betin is talking, right? So Betin should say that the name of the child should be after the father's brother. So it's not talking to the Avam, but it has to give the information. Achi Aviv. So the Gemara says, no. V'dilma hachi ka'amar lehu rachmana le'betin. Maybe the Torah is telling Betin, amru le'li Yavam. You, Betin, you go tell the Yavam, yakum al shem achiv, that the child should be named after his brother. So therefore the word Ahiv fits in, because we're talking to Betin, we're saying, Betin, your obligation is to go tell the Yavam that the Shem should be Al Shem Ahiv, of his brother. So that would have been the Pshat. And therefore I could have said it's going on the name, Ela Atay Gezerah Shava Afikte Degamre. That's why the Gezerah Shava comes along and removes this Pshat that I would have thought it's going on Betin as an obligation to tell the Yavam to name the child after the deceased. Kamash Malah, no, it's only talking about that the brother fills the place of the deceased, the Gaber Nahala. There's no Pshat, this Pshat is out. Gemara says, Hashtad, the Amad Krab Begadol Ketiv. But now they're explaining me that when it's said in the Pasuk Bechor, Bechor is referring to one of the brothers, it's not referring to the child. It's referring to the brother, which means there was a Hav, I mean, to think that maybe the Bechor is talking about the child. But you have to name the child after the deceased, the same name. No, now we're learning that when it says Bechor, Bechor means one of the brothers. Oh, but it says Bechor. So it says maybe, Ema Bechor Liyibum Pashut Lo Liyabim. Pashut Lo Liyabim. Maybe I'll tell you Hadush here. Maybe only a Bechor makes Yibum, but other brothers that are not Bechor, maybe they do not make Yibum, because the Pasuk really says Vaya Bechor. So really what the Gemara now is going to do is try to analyze, must be there's a special deen by Bechor Legabe Yibum. So the Gemara is going to try to exercise different possibilities to see what is special about the Bechor. That's why the Torah chose that language. So the Gemara is thinking in its inception, maybe the deen of Bechor is special in the sense that only he makes Yibum, the Bechor, but no other brothers. Now we're going to read the Rashi simultaneously with this give and take. So let's get Rashi now. Dibura Matkil. Ema Bechor. Davka ka'amar kra, aval pashut, but another brother, lo liyabim legamre, at all. Ben ika bechor, ben neka bechor. Whether it's a firstborn or not, the law of Yibum was only given to the firstborn. Kabbalah says impossible. Im ken, eshet achiv shelo ya be'olamo dimi'et rahmana lamali. We have a case of eshet achiv shelo ya be'olamo. That's a brother that was born after his brother died. And therefore, this fellow is exempted from the mitzvah of Yibum. But you need to exempt him. Implying what? That if he was around when his brother died, he'd be eligible, even though he's not the Bechor. So you see clearly over here that the Yibum is not only said for Bechorot, other brothers are eligible. Rashi, imken, de pashut, lav bar Yibum. If you're telling me that a regular brother is not bar Yibum, lama li dimi'ut rahmana eshet achiv shelo ya be'olamo. What did you have to exempt eshet achiv shelo ya be'olamo? Tipuk le mishum de lav Bechoru. Just say simple, he's not a Bechor. Zeh shelo lav nachan mitat achiv. You don't have to come along and say, Shiloya bi'olamo and this all. Bottom line, he's not a Bechor. Ela, you see what? That Yibum is subject not only to Bechor, but it's also subject to other brothers. So the Gemara goes a different way. Parich Rab Aha. And Aha continues and says, he asks a question. Ve'ema liv'ute bukhra de'ima. I'll tell you, maybe really we go back to that premise that Yibum only applies to the Bechor. And this over here that you have a mi'ut, it's also talking about a Bechor, but from the mother. When it said, Eshet Achiv Shiloya Be'olamo, it's talking about a brother that is a Bechor. He just wasn't around at the time that his brother died. But if he was, he'd be subject, because indeed he is a Bechor. Bechor from the mother. So the Gemara says, Ha'hu lo matzit amra. You can't say that. Di yibum benahalata la rahmana. Because you know the whole mitzvah of Yibum, the Torah links it to the law of inheritance. Venahala mina av velo mina eb. Which means the nahala comes from the brothers, from the father, not from the mother. So therefore you cannot say over here that the Torah is coming to say that if you have a brother from the mother, he'll be subject to Yibum. Brother from the mother is not subject to nahala. Therefore there's no havamina. Therefore we're talking about a regular brother. And then you see regular brothers also subject to the mitzvah of Yibum. So the Gemara goes another way. Ve'ema, maybe I'll say, ki ika bechor titkayim mitzvat Yibum. Which means, I'll tell you, when there's a Bechor around, then the mitzvah of Yibum is done. Ki leka Bechor lo titkayim mitzvat Yibum. But maybe when there's no Bechor, there's no Yibum at all, which means, I agree, Yibum can be done by other brothers. Like we have the Pasuk, by Eshet Achiv Shelo Ya Be'olamo. But I'll say, that's only in a case where there was a Bechor. So where there's a Bechor, so then other brothers can also participate in the Yibum. But if there's no Bechor, then those other brothers cannot participate at all. Gemara says, can't be. Amar kera umet ehad mehen. Classic case of Yibum. You have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. One of them died. Mi lo askinan demet Bechor? Aren't we talking about a case, or possibly talking about a case where the Bechor died? Let's say the Reuven died. Ve'amar rahmana liyabim katan. And the Pasuk is saying what? Even though there's no Bechor around anymore, Shimon who's the Katan makes Yibum. So therefore again, you see what? You see that even in a case where there's no Bechor, the Katan still can make Yibum. Who said? Ve'ema demit Katan. Maybe the case is talking about where Shimon died, where the Katan died. Ve'amar rahmana liyabim Bechor. And the Pasuk is saying that Reuven, the Bechor, has to make the Yibum. So therefore you see it, back to the question again. Maybe only when there's a Bechor, so then the other brothers can fall into place. But if there's no Bechor, maybe the other brothers cannot make Yibum at all. The Gemara says, impossible. Ha-mi'et rahmana eshet achiv shiloya be'olamo. Now the case of eshet achiv shiloya be'olamo was written in the context where there's two brothers. Now, if there's two brothers that were alive and then one died, so then we know the case. We just discussed that case. Umet echad mehem. Or we said the case of Eshet Achiv Shelo Ya Be'olamo, two brothers, meaning you have Reuven, he was around, and then after he died, then another brother was born. Now, in that case over there, it's clear that when that brother was born, there was no Bechor, because Reuven, the Bechor, had to die. And then what are you saying? The only reason why he doesn't make Yibum is because he was Shiloya Be'olamo. But if he was Be'olamo, he would.
And therefore we have rejected that last line of reasoning, that even in a case where there's no Bechor, still the other brothers are subject, are able to make Yibum. So that's not the specialty of Bechor. So the Gemara says, fine, maybe we have a different line of reasoning. Ve'ema, maybe we'll say like this. Kileka Bechor Kadam Katan Zaka. Maybe I'll tell you this. When there's no Bechor, then if, let's say, one of the smaller brothers went and did the Yibum, I'll say, he's okay. However, V'i'ika Bechor, but if there is a Bechor, Kadam Katan Lo Zaka. Now maybe the Hadush of Bechor, because again, we're trying to find what makes the Bechor special, that the Torah used the word Bechor. He must have a specialty. Maybe the specialty is when there's a Bechor, and another one of the younger brothers jumped the gun, not valid, because there's a Bechor. Gemara says no. Amar kira ki yeshivu achim yahdav. By Yibum it talks about the brothers being together. Hukshat yeshivat achim ze laze. Which means the brothers are all equal. Which means we're not going to say that the Bechor, he can make it if he's around, and if the other brothers jump the gun, that they're not, it's not valid. No, hukshat achim. The brothers are equal in this sense. That whoever makes the Yibum is going to be valid. So we're back to the question, what makes the Bechor special? It says ve'ema, maybe we'll say like this. Ki ika bechor, maybe I'll say like this. If there is a bechor, lihadar agadol. Then let's say there's the bechor. Let's say the bechor refuses. He don't want to make the Yibum. So you go down the line. You go to the other brothers, like we said, and let's say they don't want to do it. So then the deen's gonna be, you gotta go back to the bechor and you have to force him, he has to do it. So I'll say like this, when there is a bechor, lihader agadol, that you have to go after the gadol. And therefore the bechor. Kileka bechor, but maybe I'll say when there's no bechor, en hozrin etzel gadol. Then you don't have to go after the oldest. Which means if none of them want to do it, you can't force the oldest to do it. So that's the Hiddush of Bechor. Bechor being the firstborn, if nobody wants to do it, he gets forced. Masha'enkin, if there's no Bechor, the Gadol, the oldest, is not forced. Maybe that's the difference. Gemara says, Alama Tane, that cannot be. Because then why do we have the following Tanayik statement? Abaye Kashisha, in the name of Abaye Kashisha. Mitzvah beGadol liYabim. There's a mitzvah for the Gadol to make Yibum. Lo ratza, if he doesn't want, holchim etzel achiv katan. So then you go to the next one in line, his younger brother, who's older than the other brothers. Achiv katan, meaning he's younger than the gadol, but he's older than the other brothers. Lo ratza, chozrim etzel gadol. And if he doesn't want, they go back to the gadol. Now we can explain that this gadol over here means a bechor, let's say. But the point is, what does it say? That if he doesn't want to do it, you go to the next in line. So what do you see over here? That even in a case where there is a Bechor, there is Hashivut to the Gadol, the next in line, because he is still Gadol over the other brothers. So once already you see that there's a Hashivut to the Gadol, so therefore I can argue and say, in a case where there's no Bechor at all, still you have to give Hashivut to the Gadol. So in this case over here, look at the line of Yibum. It starts from the Gadol. The Gadol doesn't want it, so you give it to the next one. The language of the Gemara is Etzil Achiva Katan, which means he's the next Gadol. And therefore, why don't you just give it to any of the brothers? And you see, no, there's a hierarchy. The Gadol does have a certain Hashivut, the older one. And therefore, in a case where there's no Bechor, I'll tell you, maybe the older one still has a Hashivut, and he has to go first. See, now she brings the refutation from the words holchim etzel achiv katan, because he's learning, he's younger but he's still older than the other ones. So you see that the older one does have a certain precedence over here. He doesn't want to bring it to the ayah from mitzvah begadol. He doesn't want to bring it from chozrim etzel gadol, because this gadol can mean a bechor. So therefore you wouldn't have a raya to that. But from the fact, you see, even when there's a Bechor around, if the Bechor doesn't want to do it, you give it to the next Gadol around, that shows you the Gadol, the older one, has Hashivut. So therefore I'll tell you, even if there's no Bechor, you have to give it to the older one. The older one has Hashivut. And the Gemara does say that. Ke Bechor. Indeed, the Gadol, the older, has a deen of a Bechor. Ma Bechor Bechorato Garmalo. Just like the Bechor gave him first option, because he's the firstborn, Af gadol gedula to garmalo. So too, a gadol, an older one, his gedula is gorem that what? He goes first. So therefore, we're back to the question. In what way is a bechor special that the Torah used that language? The pasuk says, "Vayab bechor asher yakum asher teled." What do you mean the bechor? The chaurad is no difference in a bechor and a gadol. In all the cases so far, they're equal. Skabras no ve'ema ki miyabem bechor lishkol nahala. Maybe this is the difference. Only when the bechor makes the yibum, he gets the nahala of his brother. Ki miyabem pasut lo lishkol nahala. But when the regular brother does it, not the bechor, he can make yibum, but he doesn't get the nahala. Skabras says can't be. Amar kira yakum al shem achiv varekam. Pasuk says he will take the place of his brother. Who cares who it is? Bottom line, the brother that fills the shoes of the deceased, he takes his place. Yeah. And therefore takes his place in Nahala. We don't make a difference between Bechor and Gadol. So Gemara says, Ve'ela Bechor de Karyel Rahmana Lema'i Hilcheta. So then what did the Torah write the word Bechor for? If there's practically no difference between a Bechor and a Gadol, what are you writing Bechor for? We exhausted every possibility to try to find a difference. We don't find a difference. Gemara says, Hilcheta ligiri'uta. The halakha over here is coming to minimize the power of the Yavam when he takes the place of his brother. And we're going to say that he has a status like a firstborn. A general firstborn. What's the deen of a firstborn? So the Gemara says, Ma bechor, just like a regular firstborn who normally gets a double portion of the nachala of his father, eno notel beraui kebemuhzak. There's two laws in Yerusha. When the father has assets, they're his assets. That's called raui. Those are the assets that he has at the time that he dies. Those assets are split equally amongst the brothers, and the bechor gets twice, gets a double share of the father's assets. But the father also has Ra'ui, he has assets that are coming to him from his father. He's from the grandfather of the child. There's money also coming because the father inherits his father. But that's called Ra'ui. On the stuff that's Ra'ui, that Bechor does not get a double portion. The double portion is only said by the law of Bechor and Muhzak, what the father has at the time that he dies. Not on the stuff that comes from his father. Their older brothers are equal. That's the deen of a regular Bechor. Outside the case of Yibum. Stop. You just know when they're making Yerusha, he only gets double on the Muhzak, on what the father has, not on what's anticipated coming to him from his father. Oh, so the Gemara says, Af hai. So too, the Yabam is like a Bechor. In the sense that what? That which we say the Yabam fills the shoes of the deceased, meaning like a Bechor, that he only receives the share of the brother what the father had, but he does not receive the deceased's brother's share in the Ra'ui, which means in the money that's anticipated coming, then already the brother, the Yavam, receives his own share in that. But he doesn't take a double share from the deceased. So therefore, the Chiddush of the Torah is Bechor. The Yavam is like a Bechor. That just like the Bechor's Chelek is only in the Ra'ui, in the Muhzak and not in the Ra'ui, so to the Yavam, yes, he has Chelek in the Nahala. Which part of the Nahala? He gets his part and he gets the deceased's halik, deceased's brother's halik. In which part? In the muhzak part, in the father's assets. However, he doesn't have a halik in the ra'ui, just like a bechor. And that's why the Torah wrote the word bechor, to limit him, the gri'uta, to limit him, legabe the Yerusha. Comes the next Mishnah, hanit'an al shifha. Now we discuss a case over here. Nitran means there's hashad, there's suspicion, there's talk. People are talking that a certain fellow had relations with a shifha. Shifha kina'ari. That's the rumors. Bad rumors. Vinishtahrira. But eventually this shifha became free. Now once she becomes free, she's considered full-fledged Jewish. Or nit'an, meaning on him there was laid in rumors again that he went with a goya. Not a shifa, with a regular goya, which is a terrible rumor. Vinit gaira. And then she converted. We tell this fellow that the rumors were on him, that he was going with her before she converted, even though now she converted, do not marry her. Because, what I was going to say in his final answer, because by him going with her, it substantiates the rumors. Because there was rumors that they were going together. Once already he gets married, people are going to say, see that? We were right that they were going with each other. See that? He ended up getting married. So even though she converts, do not get married because she substantiates the rumor. V'im kanas in mutzi'im biyado. But if he did get married, he could stay married. Because bottom line, it's not isur over here. After all, she did convert. So all he did is feed into a rumor, but it doesn't cause him that we make him get divorced. Hanit'an al ishet ish. However, if there was rumors on a fellow that he went with ishet ish, that he went with a married lady, ve'hotzi'uha mitachat yado, and so much so the rumors, where is the husband of this lady divorced her? Afal pi shekanas yosi. Now, in this case, if the fellow who the rumors were on him went and married this lady, the deen is Yotzi. And we'll have to see exactly why the difference in this case that we say that has to be Mutzi. Let's read Rashi. Hanitan Hashud Kilomar Shetu'anin Alav Devre Laz. Ta'un literally means laden, which means they're ladening on him, they're burdening on him words of rumors that he did such and such and so on. Lo yisa'inna. We don't want him to marry this convert now. Why? Mishum la'as shelo yumru emet ha'yakol harishon. Because now once he marries the lady that converted, people can say, see that we were right. See, he married her. That means he was with her already from a while. Hanit'an al eshet ish v'otziya bet din. V'otziya bet din means even the, let's say they got so far that the bet din, mahmad ba'la, they had to tell the husband he has to divorce her. Because when a person commits adultery, she becomes forbidden to the husband. Yeah. So Bet Din told the original husband that she has to divorce, and then this guy went and married her. Yotzi. Why? Because we know that a Eshet Ish is Asura not only to her husband, but she's Asura also to the Boel. So therefore the Din is Yotzi. Now the Gemara analyzes. Gemara Hagiyoret miyahavya. The Gemara says, bottom line, she is considered, this lady, a convert. Mm-hmm. Meaning, might be we're not allowed to, the fellow's not allowed to marry her, but the conversion is considered a conversion. So Gemara says, how could that be? Would mean he, echad ish nitkayir lishum isha. Whether a man converted because he wanted to marry a lady. Ve'had isha, the opposite. A lady converted, she nitgayra lishum ish, for a marriage of a man. Ve'chen mish nitgayir lishum shul'an melachim, or he converted because he wants to sit at the table of kings, which means, wasn't l'shem shamayim, which means in order to get riches, to sit at the table of kings, so to speak, lishum avde shilomo, or let's say he wanted to be part of the servants of Shilomo, that they were also very aristocratic and rich, so he wants to be part of that group. Enam gerim. That's not considered a gerut l'shem shamayim. Devrei Rabbi Nechamya. Shaya Rabbi Nechamya omer. Ehad gerei arayot. Whether a person converts because, let's say, he's scared from the lions. Like we have a story with the Kutim, that the lions came and scared them, and therefore they converted out of fear. Ve'had gerei halomot. That's a case where a guy has a dream, and somebody comes to him in a dream and tells him, you got to convert. So he's scared. So he's converting out of fear of the dream. Ve'had gerei Mordechai ve'Esther. Or the converts, for example, in the times of Mordechai and Esther, where they only converted because the momentum was on the Jewish side. Yeah. And therefore they were only converting because they wanted to be with the successful people. Enam gerim. It's not considered conversion. Achit gairu bizman hazeh. Until they convert in our times. Sure. In the times of the Gemara, the Jewish people were under persecution. So the Gemara says, bizman hazeh salkadadak. Well, only the times of the Gemara, not before. Ela ema kibizman hazeh. Which means, only in the time like the times of the Talmud, the Jewish people are being persecuted. Then if a person converts, he's not doing it for any glory. He's not doing it for any benefit. He's doing it l'shem shamayim. Oh, so the question then is, how could you tell me that if she converts in this Mishnah, the conversion is a conversion? Gemara says, ha itman alad. Don't worry, we have a statement on this. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak bar Shmuel bar Martam Shemed Rav Halacha Kedivrei HaOmer Kulam Gerim Him. There's another shita of the Rabbanan that say all these converts, we consider them Gerim. And therefore, Amishtah is going like that, that even if there was a ulterior motive over here, we could assume that what? They're still converted, L'Shem Shamayim, and it's okay. Gemara mm-hmm. Now the Gemara over here, this is a very important question now. Gemara is saying like this, it has a different understanding of what the Isur of the Mishnah was. We originally thought, the way the Gemara is thinking now, that the reason why we don't want this guy to marry, because the conversion is not a good conversion. And therefore, if the guy's going to marry, now already people are going to say, hey, he married a lady that the conversion was not good. It was, the conversion was for marriage. But now that you're telling me that even a conversion for marriage is okay, so let the guy marry. And therefore, look at Taila also, which we thought at this point, that the whole reason why we're not letting him get married, because if he's going to end up getting married, what's going to happen? People are going to say the conversion is not a valid conversion because it was for marriage. But now that you're telling me it doesn't matter, even if it was converted to marriage, according to the Shita, that's okay. So the Ketayla, let the guy stay married. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason why we don't want him to get married. Mishum derab aseh, de'amar rab aseh, haser mimecha ekshut pe ulzut sefatayim. The issue over here is, a person has to remove from himself ekshut pe, crookedness of the mouth, ulzut sefatayim, and rumors. Meaning, since there was rumors already on this guy that he went with this lady, by getting married to, even though let's say the conversion is a conversion and the marriage is a marriage, the problem is it's going to substantiate the rumor. And therefore you're giving people a chance to talk now. You say, see that? We were right. He did go with her. And therefore that's the reason, like we learned when we learned the Mishnah, that's the reason why they do not let him go with this lady, lecha tahila, that is. But again, if it was Kones, it's okay. Because I'll say the conversion was a conversion, and therefore there's no problem. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, Eh mekabelim gerim limot haMashiach. Similarly, at the times of the Mashiach, again, where Am Yisrael is going to be on top, we do not accept converts. Joking, right? Continue. Kayotzebo, lo kiblu gerim. Lo bime David velo bime Shlomo. Similarly, they did not accept converts, not at the time of David, because at the time of David he was a warrior, they were winning all the wars, so Am Yisrael also was on top. Velo bime Shlomo. Nor did they accept converts at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, at the time of the Beit HaMikdash, Am Yisrael was all its glory. So again, that would be not a L'Shem Shamayim conversion. Amar Rabbi Eliezer me'ekera. How do we know this? So he knows it from a pasuk. Hen gor yagur, the ger can come and dwell amongst us. Efes me'oti, when God says I am not with the Jewish people. Efes me'oti, without me, which means when Am Yisrael is, so to speak, God is me'estir panim, God is, you know, concealing himself, when Am Yisrael is going through hard times, then let the gerim come. Mi gar etecha Alecha Yipol, and the one that comes and converts and lives with you, Alecha Yipol, he will rest with you, which means he will rest with you in Olam Haba, which means it'll be okay if he converts at the right time. Aval idach lo, but according to his opinion, other converts that convert for ulterior motives do not have this benefit. Comes the Gemara and continues, Hanit'an al eshet ish. So what do we say? Now we got to go back to this case of the Mishnah. We said on it, Anal Eshet Ish, that means there was rumors on this guy that went with Eshet Ish. So what do we say? He cannot marry this lady subsequently, and if he does, Yotzi. So now the Gemara explains. Amar Rav, a very important Shitav Rav, Ube'edim. Says, this what we're talking about over here is Davka Be'edim, which has to be witnesses that saw the znut over here. Also, once there's witnesses, now we understand she's eshet ish deoraita. There's witnesses over here. Yeah. That therefore, the first husband is hayav ben aturah to get divorced from this lady, asura le baal, and certainly he's not allowed to be with her because there's witnesses, asura le boel. Amar Rav Sheshat. So Rav Sheshat says, Amina kinaim v'shachiv rav, I say that Rav made this statement when he was sleeping. Amar Laishmateta. Which means he comes along and says, what are you talking about, Rav? This is what you're talking about? You're saying that the Mishnah is talking about Edim? He must have been sleeping when he said this shita. Now someone to say it's a praise, but even when Rav was sleeping already, he was talking Devrei Torah. In any event, Detanya, because we have a braita. The braita says, "Hanitan al eshet ish." You have a fellow that's suspected to go with that one with eshet ish. Ve'otziua al yado, and the first husband divorced. So he was married, let's say she was married to Reuven, Reuven divorced. V'nitgareshah mitachat yedei acher. She got married to somebody else, to Shimon, and Shimon also divorced her. Im kanas. Then if the fellow that was under suspicion married her, lo yotzi. Then already it says, he could stay married. It seems that the Gemara is going to learn from this braita that when she gets married to somebody in between, so that breaks the rumor. So therefore the Gemara wants to analyze the case. What's the case over here? If there are witnesses over here that saw this nut, what do I care if somebody else came and broke the rumor by marrying this lady and divorcing her? My Avi, what do I care if there's witnesses? You can't break the rumor. The fellow that the rumors were on cannot remain married to this lady. There was witnesses. Again, if there was witnesses, breaking the rumor is not going to help. It doesn't do with a rumor. There's witnesses. And therefore, it's going to be asura. That's right. It doesn't do with a rumor. They have witnesses. Ela lav. Must be the case of the bride that's talking about. Dilekaidim. Must be just talking about where there's no witnesses. Oh, so now we analyze. Vitama de'ata acher v'afsekelekala. Now the only reason why I let the guy get married is only because the room is considered broken when somebody else married in between. Meaning the lady was married to a fellow, Reuven. Rumors came out already that she was doing something with this guy, with Ploni. So Reuven got divorced. And she ended up marrying Shimon. She got divorced from Shimon. The deed of the bride is she can get married to Ploni. Why? Because by the fact that there was a marriage in between, there was no witnesses over here. Therefore, it's okay. So we make a diuk. Halav hacher, meaning if there was no marriage in between, mafkinan.
Break it.
Which means if she went straight from the divorce to Reuven, and now Ploni wanted to marry her, married her, mafkinan, even though there's no witnesses. So how could you learn the Mishnah, Rav, that is? Witness. That the case of the Mishnah that says, if Ploni married this lady, he has to be Motzihar. So he said, oh, because there's Edim. What are you talking? From this bright over here, Smashma, even if there's no Edim, he still has to be Motzihar. You're going against the Beferush Braita. Amalecha Rav. Rav says, I have no problem. I can answer that Braita. Hu hadin de alfalgav de lo ata acher ve'afseke lekala. Doesn't matter. Even if somebody didn't come in between to break the rumor, I still follow my rule. I'ika edim mafkinan, ileka edim lo mafkinan. Which means I hold to my rule. If there's edim, Ploni has to be Motziha. If there's no Edim, he's not Motziha. Also, now what's the Braita going over here talking about? That if there's somebody that comes in between, they could remain married. What about the implication that we made? So the Gemara said, no, v'hachi ka'amar. This is the chidush of the Braita. De'afal gav de'ata acher ve'afseke lekala. That even though somebody came in between and broke the rumor, meaning married this lady, lechatechila lo yichnos. Still, the chidush is Ploni lechatechila should not marry. But if he did, no problem. The chidush is a chumrah in the braita to tell you that whether somebody came in between or not, if there's no witnesses, it doesn't matter. She can remain married. There's no witnesses. That the Braita is agreeing to. Just exactly like Rav said. All the Braita is coming to say is that even if the rumor somewhat was broken in the sense that she was married to somebody in between, still, lo yichnos lechatechila. You still cannot marry this lady lechatechila. So therefore at this point, Rav stands to his opinion, and he explains the Braita that really, Davka with his edim, but if there's no edim, she's able to remain married to Peloni. Metive. So now the Gemara asks another question from another Braita. Bameh devarim amurim. When do we say this deen? Which deen is that? The deen that you have to be motzi kishe'en la banim. When do we say that if Ploni married this lady, that he has to be Motzi, that's when there was no children from the first husband. However, Aval Yesh La Banim Lo Tetze. But if she had children already from the first husband, Lo Tetze, why? Because if you're going to be Motziya from Ploni, now you're going to make the children suspicious that they were Mamzerim. So if there's no children, so there's no damage to any children having a Hashash of Mamzerut, let Ploni leave that lady. But if there's children already, keep everything status quo. If he married her, not to affect the children. So the Gemara says, V'im ba'u edet tum'ah. But if there was edim, I don't care. Afilu yesh la kama barim. It doesn't matter how many children she has. Tetze. Oh, so now, what do you see from this bright over here? The bright that clearly says, in a case where there's no children, I don't care, even if there's no edim, tetze. That's against Rav. Because Rav, you said what? Only in a case of edim, like you learned the Mishnah, is tetze. But you said what? If there's no edim, no tetze. But here you see a case over here of the Braita that says, even without edim, if there's no children, tetze. How do you learn this Braita? So you see, it's not about edim anymore. You see over sure. Even without edim, it's possible what? Tetze. Rav, how do you learn this? So Gemara says, I have no problem. Rav muki la lematnitin. You know how Rav will learn the Mishnah? B'sheyesh la banim v'yesh la edim. Very simple case. He'll learn the case like he learned. It's talking about, we'll say, where she had children. Oh, so normally we say where she has children, she stays. No, but there was witnesses. So therefore, if there's witnesses and there's children, the Braita would agree as well. Tetze. So therefore, Rav is still able to hold of this Braita and make our Mishnah make sense. Which means he'll learn our Mishnah is a case where there was children. Oh, what do you mean? If there's children, then we said, Lo Tetze, Hashash Mamzerut. No, but there's Edim. What's there's Edim? We don't get children, no children. That's why the Din is Tetze. So the Gemara says, Umay Duchker de Rav Leukmer Lematnitin Beyesh Labanim Beyesh LaEdim. Why did he have to learn the case of the Mishnah of Tetze, where it's a case of Yesh Labanim and Yesh LaEdim? And then the whole logic is why? Because there is witnesses. And if there would be no witnesses, lo mafkinan. Lukme, you could have established it just as well. B'she'en labanim, where there was no children. Afalgav deleka edim. Because what's the rule if there's no children? Afalgav deleka edim. When there's no children, also the deen is what, according to the Braita, yotzi. So the Gemara is asking a technical question. Rav, you had two ways of learning the Mishnah, basically, based on this Braita. You could have learned the Mishnah like you did. Yesh la banim, yesh la edim. And therefore, the Hiddush is that the edim over here are causing the problem, and therefore, tutsi. But you could have said a different case the Mishnah is talking about. Maybe we're talking about a case of en la banim, and in edim. And the Braita holds in that case as well, yotzi, because there's no chashash of mamzerut, and therefore, even though there's no edim, doesn't matter. How can we learn the case like that? So he says, Amar Rava matnitin kashite. Says that he had a problem with the language of the Mishnah. My iriya detani hotziuha. The language of the Mishnah was regarding the husband, the Uven that was married to this lady. What does it say after the rumors came out? Hotziuha. They removed her from her husband. Litni hotzi'ah. Why didn't it just say he divorced her? Ela kol hotzi'uha bebetin. Hotzi'uha means they removed her. They forced the divorce. Ubetin be'edim hu demafke. Betin is only mafke when there's edim. And different from the Mishnah, it's mashma that we're talking about the case with this edim. So that's why he was mokim the Mishnah be'edim. But really, what the Gemara is really going according to this line of reasoning, Rav agrees with the Braita. We don't want to put Rav at odds with these Braita. And really what we did here, Rav answered both Braita. The first Braita, which was there a Mashma'ut, that without Edim, even so it's a problem. He said, no, that's not the point of the Braita. The point of the Braita is, the first Braita is, when somebody else married in between, the Hiddush is that still lechatechila she should not get married. But since there's no edim, if he got married, no problem. The second Braita that talked about if there was children, so then already, even if there's no Edim, Yotzi, Rav will agree to that. He'll just say that our case of the Mishnah is talking about where there was children. The Braita said where there was no children, Yotzi. Because no children, you have a problem, no problem of Mamzerut. So Yotzi, even without Edim. So Rav will say, I agree with that Braita. All I'm saying is our Mishnah was talking about Edim with Banim. And therefore, when you have Edim, so therefore, Vadai, you have to be Motzi. I don't care about the Mamzerut issue of it. There's Edim, there's nothing to talk about. And why was he forced to learn the Mishnah like that? Because of the diuk that he made from the Lashon, Hotzi'uha. Hotzi'uha is Mashmah, it's a case where Betin told the first of the man he has to get out. That's only talking about a case of Edim. So therefore, Rav was able to square off the Braitot. Now the Gemara says, V'iba'et Ema. I can give an alternate interpretation. Ema hani matnayata rabihi. I'm not interested in these braitot over here. These braitot that we quoted above are not following the opinion of Rav. Rav really holds dafka be'edim. If you don't have edim, I don't care what the case is. If you don't have edim, lo yotzi. These braitot that are mashma, even without edim, yotzi, it's following the B's opinion. Where do you see the B's opinion? The Tanya, rochel yotze. These are cases of circumstantial evidence cases. You have a peddler, let's say you see coming out of a lady's house. Peddler's selling besamim. So the besamim peddler comes out of the lady's house. The isha hogeret besinar. The husband walks in and sees his wife tying her undergarment. And therefore, the guy just walked out and now he sees the wife. So, get it, besinar, amarabi, ho'ilu mechu'ara davar, tese. Finish. Since this is already mechu'ara, it's disgusting. Meaning it's already evidence that something went on, even though there's no witnesses. So you see, what does the bee hold? Even without witnesses, tese. Already, we don't let this people, they don't let them stay together. And certainly, we're not going to let him go with the bo'er. Which means if we're going to say tetzeh to the husband, we're not going to allow him to go with the bo'er. Similarly, rok lema'na min hakila. Let's say they were lying together, this rochel, I guess the assumption is, when the husband walks in, he sees the rochel walking out, and he sees spit on top of the canopy. So that assumes that there were people on the bed, and the lady, when she was lying on her back, spit, and the spit hit the top of the canopy, and she was lying on the bed, the Rochel just walked out. So he says, Amar Rabbi, Ilu Mechu'ara Davar. This is Mechu'ar. There's something going on here, even though there's no witnesses. Tetze. And therefore, certainly, not only Tetze, but would be forbidden to thee, Bo'el as well. Similarly, Min'alim hafuchim tahat amita. At this point, the Gemara is thinking, it's talking about, let's say you see the peddler left his shoes under the bed, but he turned them upside down. It seems he turned them upside down because he thought they'd be less conspicuous. Maybe they'd blend in with the ground. So now he walks in, and he sees his shoes turned upside down of the somebody. As Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, ho'ilu mechu'ara davar, tese. Again, the same point. Since already it's mechu'ar, no witnesses here again, tese. So therefore, let's go back for a second. All those braitot that said you don't need witnesses, and the deen is tese, could be following the bee. That the bee just holds on the rumor already. You have to be tetzeh from the husband, and she's asura leboel. So that's really Rabbi Shita. Rav argues. Rav says we don't go with the rumor. We go with the edim. Yesh edim, then already tetzeh. In edim, all it is rumors. Again, lo yichnos lechatahila. But if he was kones, he can stay. So therefore, we're answering up two ways. The first way, we try to square off Rav to answer up with the Braitot. And the second answer was saying, you know what? Leave the Braitot, don't answer up the Braitot. The Braitot are as they are mashma. Meaning the Braitot are mashma without edim, tetzeh. Who's that going like? To the B. Because you see already the B says, without even witnesses, you start a rumor. Tetzeh. Comes the Gemara and says, Minalayim hafuchim. It's going back to that one case. Guy sees shoes turned upside down under the bed. Lechsi demaninu. This is not circumstantial anymore. Meaning, let him go find out whose shoes these are. This is clear evidence. So Gemara says, no. Ela makom minalayim hafuchim. Which means he just sees the imprint of the upside down shoes. Which means the peddler came in, turned his shoes upside down, let's say to keep them inconspicuous. Before he left, he took them. So the husband comes all this under the bed, he sees an imprint where two shoes must have been. The peddler just went in. The peddler went in, kept his shoes upside down to keep them inconspicuous.
Because if they were right side up, there, you'd see the footprints.
I don't know if that's the reason, but bottom line, he took these shoes with him, and when the guy came in, he saw the footprints on the ground. Comes the Gemara and concludes, V'hilcheta kevate derav, v'hilcheta kevate derbi. Halakha follows Rav, and halakha follows Rabbi. Gemara says, how could that be? Kasha ilcheta ilcheta. These are contradictory halachot in the sense. Rabbi holds no witnesses, just on a rumor. The deen is what? Tetzeh from the Baal, tetzeh from the Bo'el. You cannot even marry the Bo'el. And then you're telling me what? Halacha kerav. Dafka with witnesses. So how could you have both, she thought they diametrically opposed to each other. One says, Dafka only witnesses, and I don't care about anything else. And one says, no, I even go on the rumor. So comes the Gemara and says, look at that she. Vilcheta kevate derav. They are not in mahasikin kala ila bi'idim. You don't go with the rumor according to Rav. Rumor means nothing to him. You just go with witnesses. Whereas the B even goes with the rumor alone without witnesses. So Gemara says, La kasha, no question. Ha bekala de pasik, ha bekala de lo pasik. It depends what type of rumor. There's two type of rumors. There's a rumor de pasik that ends. Meaning for a day or so the rumors, the talk is out and then it dies down. And there's another type of rumor de lo pasik. It just keeps on going. So the Gemara says, Kala de lo pasik, on a rumor that is not refuted, meaning it keeps on going, Veleka edim, and there's no witnesses, Kirbi. Then we're going to be Mahmir like Rabbi. Which means, again, even though we're going to Rav, I don't care what type of rumor it is, I don't care if it's a rumor that doesn't end. According to Rav, nothing. However, when it comes to an unending rumor, we're going to be mahmir like Rabbi and say, even though there's no witnesses, tetzeh. Meaning the husband has to leave such a lady, and of course, nothing to the bo'el. However, kala de pasik, v'ikar edim kirav. However, on a rumor that is stops, for example, was refuted, which means it's not an unending rumor, it's an the rumor comes to an end, and there's witnesses, then already will go like Rav. But again, only because there's witnesses. Which is according to Rabbi, I don't need witnesses. He goes with rumors. I don't care if it's an ending rumor or non-ending rumor. And therefore, in this, according to Rabbi, you wouldn't need witnesses in this case. Bottom line is a rumor. He doesn't make a haluk between kala de pasik, kala de lo pasik. But we're going to say, in a kala de pasik, we're not going to be mahmir like Rabbi. We're going to go like Rav, that davka, witnesses. And then we'll say, yotzi mizeh, vasura lezeh. So we're making like a compromise. It's not a stira. We know they were extreme in their opinions. We're saying, on a rumor that's unending, then I'm going to be mahmir. I don't care if there's witnesses, take the B's opinion. Asura. However, in kala de pasik, then I'm going to go like Rav Dafka when there is edim. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.